1800, the Lighthouse of God. And I had no idea of that. And that's what we call ourselves, the Lighthouse on the square. So, but it was a powerful church. The church, when you look down the history of the church and you see the names of the people who were in the church, all of the people, Library, Paddock, and just about every street you can see in the city here, they were members of this church here at one time. Very affluent church one time. At one time, it was very affluent. But when I came, amen, when I came, the affluence went out and Don Foote came in. Praise the Lord. And he's been here for how long, Don? About 180? I'm just kidding with him. I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's good to be in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord, hearing the word of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, as I was seeing the people come in, we have two people in our church here that are engaged. We have Derek. He's engaged to his beautiful fiance back in Texas. And I'm just so happy and proud for you, my brother. Congratulations.
Yes.
And then we have Jason and Ellis. You know, they're engaged, and they're going to be doing their wedding next Sunday. Next Sunday after our service here, we're going to bring them up, and we're going to tie the knot. So praise the Lord. So remember, next Sunday after service, we're going to bring them up and get them married. I'm so proud of Jason. You know what I mean? This is a prayers that's been answered. We've been praying for years for him, and God brought him his help meet. So they're going to get married here next Sunday. So with that, you know, I would really like you ladies to really gather around her, because she's from Indonesia, and she don't know nobody here other than Jason. So we need to have her know other people. But so ladies, if you would please, after church or whatever, get with her. She's going to probably need some help next week, because she brought her wedding dress all the way from home, from Indonesia. And that's going to be wonderful. Going to be a wonderful thing. So, ladies, I ask that you get with, so she can get included with all the ladies' ministries and all the things that you guys do. You know, we want to welcome her here. And I tell you what really blessed me, because, you know, when I first heard about that, when Jason was telling me about her, and that she was from another country or whatever, you know, and I told him a couple of weeks ago, I said, now, is she saved? And he looked at me, he said, yes. I said, well, I'm going to find out. You know, so, but anyway, when we was having marriage counseling, I was blessed to hear that she has been saved. She was raised, you know what I mean, in the church. And when Jason went to visit her in Indonesia, she took him to church. She says, you know, you have to love Jesus if you want to be with me. And that blessed me. That blessed me. Because you know how some people say, you know, some people are, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm saved and I love Jesus, you know what I mean? And they just saying that for a motive. But she really loves the Lord, you know, and it was just a wonderful thing to meet her. And I can't wait for her to get plugged in, you know, to the church, or to the family here. So praise the Lord. Anyway, let us go before the throne of grace. Father, we come before you this morning, give you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day and giving us breath. And Lord, with this breath, we will praise you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your love. We will praise you for your mercy. We will praise you for your compassion and your correction and conviction. Lord, we worship you with a heart of worship, with a life of worship. We worship you in spirit and in truth, O Father God. Because you're looking for true worshipers this day. Lord, I pray for our children. I commit our children unto you to set them apart, that they may serve you all the days of their life, not get caught up in the snares and the traps of the enemy. Lord, I pray for families today. I pray for marriages, that the marriage unit be stronger than it's ever been. I pray for our country, the greatest nation in the world. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will forgive us, though, of how we've turned our back on you, of how we have brought so much wickedness, oh, Father God, within this country. So, Lord, we need revival. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon this nation, oh, Father God, and let it start in the house of God. Lord, we pray for all of those who are in leadership of this country. Create a clean heart, renew a right spirit within each and every one of them. Let them seek wisdom from you and you alone. Lord, we pray for traveling mercy for those who are traveling today. We pray for the homeless and the hungry, the helpless, hurting, and hopeless. We pray for those who are contemplating suicide, especially our military and our soldiers. Lord, that you will stop them. Let them know that they're loved, that they're valued. We pray, Father, for those who are being abused today. Stop the abuse and stop the abusers by any means necessary. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you will touch our minds, our ears, our spirit this morning, that we will be open, oh, Father God, to hear what you have to say. That there be no distractions. That, Lord, that we will have a seeking, a wanting to get something out of the word today, Lord, that we won't walk out of here the way we walked in. Lord, we're expecting the Holy Spirit to move this morning. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever I come before the Lord, I expect something out of it. You know, I don't want to, if I'm reading the Bible, if I'm praying, or if I'm listening to sermons or teachings or whatever, I expect to get something out of it. And I hope you do too. I hope you don't come and just sit here, you know what I mean, just to fill the time or, you know, whatever it is. That come expecting to get something from the Word of God and leave with something from the Word of God. What is it? Children's church. I'm sorry. Thank you. Children's church. Kids, go that way. And also, we need one or two more nursery workers. We need one or two more nursery workers. We have two or three, maybe four right now, but we need one or two. You know, and if, you know, you would only have to do it maybe once every 6 weeks, maybe once every 2 months. And we have a screen up there where you can listen to the sermon and watch the sermon as you're watching the kids. I don't know how y'all do that, but, you know. But you'll be able to hear the sermon and see it also. So we need a couple people, you know, women. We're not going to have the men in there with the little babies. You know, we'll have the men teaching Sunday school or whatever, but we're not going to have the men in there with the little babies. Unless it's your baby, you know, and you can go in there with your baby. But anyway, so I hope and pray that after the service that you go and talk to her and see if that's something that the Lord would have you to do. And then after you do that, you know, we'll get your name and all of that type of stuff, and we'll go through the procedures to have you go back there, because we just don't let anybody back there with our children. You know, it'd be a background check that you have to go through, and it's for you to be able to go back there and do that. So if you feel that this is something that you would want to do to help out with the church, please go talk to her or talk to me or talk to one of the ushers or somebody with that. All right. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, I tell you, I am so blessed as I was down there with adult Sunday school. If y'all missing adult Sunday school, you're missing a blessing, because Elder Howie's been bringing it. And as he was going through his lessons and teachings this morning, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what a commonality that what God has given me for today. I love that. I love that when we're on one accord, that we're teaching and preaching the same thing, you know, because what it's telling me that we both are hearing from the Lord. And I'm really thankful of that. But once again, if you're not, you know, just get up a little earlier and come in adult Sunday school, 9:30. Deuteronomy 22 and 10. When you get to say amen. A couple more amens. All right. Was that the same amens?
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the word of God says, thou shall not plow with an ox or an ass together. Let me read that again. Thou shall not plow with an ox or an ass. They shall not wear a garment of divers sorts as of woolen and linen together. And then what this is, this is Old Testament, and this is the law, the Jewish law that they're talking about. And so these are two animals, he's saying. He says, and for those of you who might not know what plowing is what they used to do in the old days. They would have two animals, and they would put a yoke around them, and they would tie them to a wagon or tie them to the plow. And they would go and they would plow the land. They would plow up the ground so they could plant the seeds to get the harvest. So he says, thou shalt not plow with an ass or an ox. Well, why not? They're two animals. And the reason is they're different animals. They're two different animals. You would get a oxen, and then you would get a donkey. I'm going to use the word donkey because y'all, some of y'all like to hear that other word. Y'all grinning when I say it. So I'm going to use the word donkey. So you got an oxen and a donkey. And they're supposed to be in unity with one another to go straight ahead. So they plowing straight ahead. But you have the donkey and the oxen. One will want to go one way and the other will want to go the other way. Or one will want to move forward. And usually the donkey is stubborn, so he want to stand still. So you have conflict. You understand what I'm saying? There's conflict. It's not doing what should be doing, done. Even though you have two animals, they're different animals. They're different animals. So that's Old Testament there. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And what I'm talking about here today is that how can two walk together unless they agree? Because you have one which is a clean beast and another one is an unclean beast, according to the word of God. So what I want to talk about today is, who are you yoked to? What are you yoked to? Because if you're not yoked to the one who has the mindset to follow God, where are you at? And we've all been there. We've all been there. But what I want to make it plain today is for you to know who you're yoked to or what you're yoked to. Are you doing what God is calling you to do? Because if you're not yoked with the right person or the right thing, you're not following God. You know, Elder Howard used the word compromise. We're compromising. And there's so much compromising in the church today. We're compromising all kind of stuff. You know, you got this seeker-friendly church. You know, you're compromising. You know, you want to bring all the people into the church, so you're compromised, and you make all things that is seeker-friendly, that's worldly-friendly, to bring the people into the church. We shouldn't do that. We're not going to compromise here. We're going to preach and teach the word of God, and the word of God is spirit and in truth. We're not going to come here to entertain you. You're not going to get entertained. If you're here today for entertainment, you might as well just stand up and walk on out the door. Because you're not going to get entertained. We're not going to compromise here. And that's why our pews are not full. It's because we will not compromise the word of God and the ways of God. We're not going to do it. So anyway, the book of 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Talking to the church. He's talking to the church now. He ain't talking to the bar. He ain't talking to the strip club. He's talking to the church. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named amongst the Gentiles. He's saying, the stuff that's going on in this church here, the heathens don't even do it. The unbelievers don't even do this kind of stuff in the church. And it says that one should have his father's wife. Fornication with your father's wife is what he's saying. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You are allowing this type of stuff and these type of people in your church. And you're not even addressing it. You're continuing on allowing it and allowing it and allowing it and going on with church as normal and not addressing it. So guess what's going to happen? When everybody saying, well, he's fornicating. He's in church every Sunday. The pastor ain't said nothing to him. The elders ain't said nothing to him. The board ain't said nothing to him. So guess what? I guess it's okay to fornicate. We all know what fornication is, right? Just in case one might not. Is having sex outside of marriage is what it is. And it's so common today. And you know the church as a whole, they are allowing that. They are allowing people to come and be in ministry and leadership in the church and knowing they're fornicating. Now, two people, when they come into the church, you know what I mean, a man and a woman, and it's happened here many times. We don't know if they're married or not. Sometimes they act like they're married. But as we get to know them a little bit more, come to find out that they're not married and they're living together, and yet they want to get on the worship team. Not up in here. They want to be an usher. Not up in here. They want to be on the board. Not up in here. You are welcome to come here, absolutely, to hear a word that will change your mind. I remember a young man years ago, and he had been living with this woman, and they had two or three kids. And they were coming to the church. And I didn't know they wasn't married until I found out that they wasn't. And I said, listen, I said, you know, you've been with her for I don't know how long. You got two or three kids. You know, why won't you get married? He said, I don't believe in a piece of paper. I said, what? He said, I don't believe in a piece of paper. He said, I love her. She loved me. And we have a family together. I said, okay, young man. I said, let me ask you something. I said, do you drive? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you have a license? He said, yes, sir. I said, what is that license on? A piece of paper. I said, now, let me ask you something. I said, you riding down the street and police pull you over, what are they going to ask you for? License, registration, and insurance. And you're going to tell the officer, I don't believe in a piece of paper. I've been driving for years, but I don't believe in a piece of paper. What do you think the officer going to say? Oh, okay. No, you're going to jail. That's what's going to happen. And it's the same thing with God. You know, if you're going to be with somebody, you're going to be yoked with somebody, you're going to be with somebody, you know, do the right thing. So anyway, it says fornication, it says, and verse 3, for verily as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. Apostle Paul said, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you the truth. He says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one until, y'all see that next word? Do y'all see, for those who have a Bible, do you see that next word? Let me read that again. It says, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Oh, were they in church every Sunday? They stand up and they sing. They do all of this. The Bible, this is not what I'm saying, because I want y'all to read this. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, not of the spirit, but the destruction of the flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if we know something is not right, and we don't deal with it in a godly way, we are allowing them to be on their way to hell. Do you understand? Because the Bible says fornicators would not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that what the Bible say? But you know what? I heard of a couple that told me they went to counseling with a pastor in a church, and the pastor told them to live together to see if they were right for each other. This is a pastor now. And that's happening a lot. That's happening a lot. Not up in here. I had a man want to fight me one day because I was talking about living, you know, in righteousness and not living in fornication or whatever. And he says, I'm tired of you talking to me. You know that I'm not married to her and you're looking at me. And I said, man, I didn't know you wasn't married. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. That's a conviction. Just have you. And guess what? 3 months later, they married. Got married right here. And the same thing with that first one that talk about a piece of paper. They're married now, and they've been married for about 10 years now. And happy as they can be. And he came to me and told me after that, because I did the ceremony, and told me, he said, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you came and did. He said, I wasn't glad at first when you told me that. But he says, I'm so glad that you told me this, because he said, I want to be right before the Lord. Sometimes people don't even know it. Do you know that? I didn't know it when I first got saved. I didn't know fornication was a sin. I just didn't know it. Because the way of the world, you know, the world ain't gonna tell you that. School ain't gonna tell you that. But if you come up in here, we're gonna tell you that. So anyway, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? As I say, if our children that are here, they're seeing and hearing that it's okay to live in sin and do sin, guess what? It's going to be carried on. Oh, well, you know, well, Mr. Johnson and Miss Sally, they give me candy every Sunday. And it's, and you know, and they don't, they're not married. It must be okay. So when I grow up, guess what? I ain't gonna get married either. A little leaven, it will spread. You hear what I'm saying? It will spread. And it says, therefore, let us keep the feast. Not of the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with the fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, and with covetousness and extortioners, or with idolaters, or for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetousness, or an idolatry, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, which such as one not know not to eat with them. He's saying that we should not have any. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we cannot minister, that we not cannot counsel, that we cannot go to a brother or sister who's living in sin. But what he's saying, that we can't have them intimate relationships with them. You can't be their best friends. You hear what I'm saying? All right, me and my brother, you know, we here. You know what I mean? And we hanging out. We go to lunch, we go to dinner, we go bowling, we do all that, right? We hunt. Well, you hunt, I don't hunt. Anyway, I eat the venison. But anyway, we're hanging out. And let's say that he's a true man of God. And I'm a pretender. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a pretender. I'm sitting here with him every week. We go to Bible study, we go to prayer meeting, we're hanging out, we're watching the game, we're doing all that type of stuff together. And he's a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm a pretender. The Bible says for him not to, I can't hang out with you no more. No, you telling me. Say, I can't hang out with you no more.
I can't hang out with you.
Why?
Because you're a pretender.
Because I'm a pretender. You see. Because if he continues to hang out with me and don't say nothing to me and know I'm living in sin, what he's doing is he's letting me compromise. You understand what I'm saying? What he's doing, if to know to do right and does not do it, it's accounted to him as sin. And the reason you need to tell me that I'm living the wrong life is just so I can hear you and I can straighten myself up. But if you don't say nothing to me, we cool. We okay. Let me keep on pretending. Keep on sitting next to you in Bible study, prayer meeting, and church and everything else. And it's okay because he don't say nothing to me. He don't bring it to attention. And do you know about church discipline? That's for another Sunday. We're going to get into that church discipline, because you don't hear that in the churches today about church discipline. You know, when I first came here, I had to exhort that from a man who had been a part of this church for years. But when I saw that it wasn't right, as a pastor, I had to step in. And you know, when I first came here, you know, I was the first tall pastor ever pastor the church. Y'all know that, don't you? They had never had a tall pastor before. So it was a little difficult. But God had his way. Amen. God had his way. All right. Are y'all with me so far? Okay. And it says, verse 12, for what have I to do with judging, to judge them also that they are without? It says, do not ye judge them that are within? Do not you judge them that are within? What he's saying is, for those who are us in the church, for those who are unsaved out there, we don't judge them, because they will be judged. And that word judge is not a judgmental spirit, but it's to tell them the truth, to let them know the truth. When you know somebody that's in your family or in the church or something, because we're a family, and they're doing something they ain't supposed to do, what do you do? Now, let's say we got kids. We got the houses up there. They got a lot of kids. And when they're kids, they probably didn't do it much. But when their kids didn't do the right thing, do you think that Elder Tom and Sister Laura didn't say nothing to them? Shannon, you know, don't you? Yes. You know, when somebody in your family that's not doing what they're supposed to do, do you know? I ain't going to say nothing to them, because I don't want to hurt her feelings. I don't want her to be mad at me. No. Sister House, let me tell you something. She's a little bitty. But let me tell you something about Sister House. She comes from the Larkins. Ask Elder House about that later on after church. I'm just picking on him, my brother. But anyway, when you have somebody in your family that's not doing right, we need to address it. You address it with your family, don't you? If your child or somebody ain't doing right, you go to them. You don't say, no, let's just keep on doing what you're doing. Absolutely not. You don't do that. So anyway, he says, verse 13, but them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves the wicked person. It says, put away from among yourself the wicked person. So what is that saying? Do not compromise. Do not yoke yourself. If you are an oxen, don't hook yourself up with a donkey. All right? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because if you do, you will not be able to follow God and do what God requires you to do. Because once again, the oxen, he's going the way that he's supposed to be going, but the donkey is rebelling. The donkey is kicking. The donkey is stubborn. The donkey won't do what he's in the path that he's supposed to go in. Are y'all understand what I'm saying now? Just in case you don't, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And I'm going to start at verse 16. I'm going to start at verse 15. No, I'm going to start at verse 14. Let me go to 14. All right. 2 Corinthians 6, and what did I say? 14. Be ye not, hear me well, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not be equally yoked with an unbeliever. What that says, that's not telling us that we can't go and minister to unbelievers and talk to unbelievers. But what it's saying is that you cannot have an intimate, stand up, my brother. Now, we yoked. Put your arm around my neck. Yep. All right. We yoked. We yoked together. Okay. Now, he wants to serve God. He wants to do the right thing. And I don't. So when, you know, serving God is going down that, going down here. All right. Now, serving God is the path that you're going down there. Now, you want to go there. And you're trying to look at me and say, I want to go here. All right. So start going there. I want to go here. You gonna go with me?
No.
Huh? Well, come on.
Okay, do I have to go?
Now, you see what he said? Okay, I'll go with you. No, you don't get a cookie.
Okay.
See, what he's doing now is compromising. And the reason he's compromising, because he don't want to hurt my feelings. You understand? Because me and him cool. But he don't want to hurt my feelings. So he's saying, I'll just go ahead and go the route that you're going. And that's what happens, church. When you hook up with an unbeliever, and you'll say, and I've had it so many times, where the young girl or the young man say, oh, I love him and I love her, you know what I mean? But do they love Jesus? Do they serve? No, not yet, but you know, I'm sure they will after we get married. And guess what? Every time that has happened, you don't see either one of them in the church no more. Because they have compromise. Now what and so once again, you know what I mean? Get up here real quick. Stand up here. Turn around. Now he's living a righteous life. And he said, Pastor, you know, we hang out and I want you to live a righteous life too. You know what I mean? So he's gonna pull me up to the level of Christ, the level of being saved, the level of living righteous. So pull me up to that. Get me up here. You see what just happened? With little effort, I pulled him down to my level. Do you understand what I'm saying? Get up there again. Now use two hands.
Two hands. Okay.
All right. Now you say, now, I want you to come to the standard and live a life for me in Jesus Christ, because I want you to come. I want you to go to heaven. And the stuff that you're doing is not right.
Yes, sir.
Tell me that. Tell me the stuff is not right.
Stuff is not right, man. You need to come to Jesus.
OK. All right. So I'm saying, well, you know, I know a lot of people say they come to Jesus, man. But, you know, I said, but a lot of them, they hanging out with me. You know what I mean? We getting high together. We drinking together. They cussing. You know, we doing all this type of stuff there. So guess what? Keep trying to bring me to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus, man.
Come on and go with me. You see. You see how easy that was? When you're unequally yoked, when you hang out with somebody. Thank you, young man. When you hang out with somebody that say that they're your friend, say that your buddy or whatever, but they're trying to distract you and take you away from the path in which God has called you to take you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're hanging out with them old buddies and old people that before you got saved, and the next thing you know, you're right back in the same condition that you was before, that you said you would never go. You see, because that leaven spreads. You compromise. We cannot compromise, church. We will not compromise, church. All of this stuff you see in the world and the government doing, this alternative lifestyle, it's not an alternative lifestyle. It's sin. It's an abomination. You see it all on the TV, two men kissing each other and women hugging and kissing. It's a sin. It's an abomination. And we will not tolerate it. We cannot compromise with it. You've seen it every day, all day long. We will not accept it. We will not celebrate it. And we will not touch it. And I mean that. Now, you're welcome. If you're gay or something, you're welcome in this church. You're welcome. Because we love you, but we love the lifestyle. We hate the lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying? I got people in my family. I love them. They know I love them. But they know don't come to me with that. Because I'm not accepting that. I'm not coming to your wedding that you married no man or married another woman. Absolutely not. I love you, but I will not compromise. I will not have you take me down that road of unrighteousness. I don't care how much I love you. I don't know how much kin you are to me. I will not deal with that. And the church cannot. But the church has opened the arms to it. Has opened the arms to it. You got so many churches that is accepting that. And so much more. So much more. I'm sick and tired of it. And if you come here, let me tell you something. We are not going to accept it. You are accepted. Come as you are. And our prayer is that you will hear a word that will transform your life. That the Holy Ghost will you will hear something and hear the truth, and your ears will be open to the truth. And we've had that happen here. We've had it happen. People come in one way and they leave out another. They leave out walking in truth. Because the world says it's okay. The world say, you know, long as they ain't hurting nobody. I've even had some come to me. Do you know how many people have come to me said that they want me to marry them here in this church? Do you know? Throughout the years. And how many people have threatened to sue me? And hate. You a hate pastor. That's a hate church. And all of that mess there. We've had people picket out in front of the church before. But when I first came here, you know, as we went through the bylaws and the different things, we made an amendment that this church cannot and will not marry two men or two women. And we will not and cannot marry an unbeliever with a believer also. It ain't going to happen up in here. Because, see, I have to deal with that as a pastor, you see. I'm not going to compromise on that. I don't care how much pressure the media or the government. Once again, just what I just said here now, if we were in Canada, it would be against the law. It would be where they could come and arrest me just for what I just said. Now, let me say something. If it's a plant in here, if there's somebody in here, you know what I mean, that's a plant for the government, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. And I mean that. And I mean that. I will not compromise. We will not compromise that. We cannot. We cannot, church, but we're having so much of it. And as we go through this new year, we're going to go in this new year without compromising. We're going to go in this new year hearing the word of God and walking in the word of God in spirit and in truth. Because God has something for us, but he cannot allow it to happen while we are in the shape that we're in now. And I'm talking about the universal church. We're not going here. We're going to be a remnant. We're going to be a remnant that we're going to serve God in spirit and in truth. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're not going to compromise up in here. So if you're looking to compromise or looking for entertainment, You're in the wrong place. And it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? We cannot associate with that, with darkness. We cannot associate, you know, with accepting sin. Now, yes, we minister to the sinners. Absolutely, we do. I do it every day, all day long. And I will continue to do it. Because God didn't give up on me, which was one of the most chief sinners. God didn't give up on me. And I'm so thankful that people came to me and said, you're doing the wrong thing, young man. You're living your life not according to what the Word of God says, young man. And I would get mad. And back then, you know what I mean? I'd punch you if you got on my nerve a little bit too much. I'd punch you in your face real hard. But I'm so thankful that I had people coming to me and say, listen, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep living this way and calling yourself a Christian. It says, for what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Verse 16. For ye are the temple of the living God. You know that we are the temple of God. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit lives within us. And it says, what agreement does the temple of God, which is us, have to do with the devil? Shouldn't have nothing to do with him. Nothing. But he slivers around. Do you know that Satan and his demons come to church too? Do you know that? Mm-hmm. But I'm giving you notice today, Satan. I'm giving you notice today that you will take none of our people out of here in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we will not compromise. We will not settle for good, because God has best for us, and we want God's best. And it says, once again, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? But we are the temple of the living God, has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's one of the most profound and wonderful blessings and giftings in the Bible. He says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, this is what I want to talk about here today. Therefore, come out from amongst them. Therefore, come out from amongst them. Who's the them? Sin and wickedness. The worldly ways, the worldly gadgets and things. Come out from amongst them. And be ye separated, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He's saying, now is the time to get real. Now is the time to stop procrastinating. Now is the time to stop being plastic or pretending. Come out from among sin and touch no unclean thing. What are the unclean things? Everything that is against God. Everything that's against God. He says, touch not the unclean. And I said, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He says, when you come and you separate yourself from the unclean things, let's talk about some of the unclean things. Some of the things that you listen to, the music that you listen to. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that you watch on TV. Some of the things that you look on social media. Anything that is not pleasing to God and acceptable to God is an unclean thing. And we know what they are, church. Gossip. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Slander. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Got quiet up in here.
Yes.
Critical spirit. Got to be right in everything. Have you ever known a right fighter? Ain't wrong in nothing. Right in everything. Yes, this right about everything. No. Touch not the unclean thing, it says. Now, not have anything of a relationship with idolatry. What is idolatry? Any and everything that you put before the Lord. Sports, there you go. Your car, your home, your money, your family, huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything and everything that you put before the Lord is idolatry. A lot of people don't know that. It's time to seek the Lord. Seek Him first. Now, I have a little demonstration here. Vera, come here for a minute, please. Just come stand right here. All right. Now, Vera, I have a sack here. You see the sack? Let me find that there. All right. You hold the sack. What's in the sack? Bunch of dirt. See this here? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, you can have this. If, no, wait, it's conditioned. Can everybody see her over here? Come stand right there. All right, take the dirt. Open it up. All right. Now I'm going to put this in here. All right, I'm going to put that in there. Put that in there real good. All right, going to shake it up. Let's shake it up. Huh? You got what? Free money?
Dirty money.
Got dirty money. But it's money to spend, won't it? You can take this KFC. She got the dirty money. Dirty money's in here. So, Vera, I'm going to tell you that you can have this. But give, No. Give me a hand. Put this on. No, it ain't too big. Put it on real good. All right. Now I want you to reach in here, and you can have this if there's not one speck of dirt on here. Let me shake it up real good. Look at that $10. Look at that. Just think what you and Vern can do with that. Well, you can get two dinners, right? All right. Now, reach in there and get that, and it's yours. You can keep it. If you don't, not one speck. Go ahead. Open your hand. No. Open that hand. Open. What is that? Turn it over. What is that? So guess what? You reached into the world and you got dirty money. But let me tell you something. You didn't make the money and this here white. You made this dirty. You see what I'm saying? The whiteness and the purity and the righteousness as she reached into the world, the dirty world, to get the dirty money, it defiled her. Do you see what I'm saying? Even though this money here, you can take it and spend it anywhere, it's defiled. It's dirty. And with her pure self, with her righteous self, she wanted to get this dirty money, but it dirtied her up. Do you see what I'm saying? It dirtied her up. So guess what? You still want the dirty money. You don't. Praise the Lord. Go on, sit down there. You can have the glove if you want it. You don't want the glove either. You don't want nothing. Go sit down. You say you don't want the money. Because it's dirty. The money's dirty. You don't want the money. But did y'all get the concept of what I'm trying to tell you? That we cannot touch the things of the world. He says, come out from amongst them, be ye separated, he said. He says, and I will be a father and a God to you, and you will be my people. He has so much for us, church, but we've been sticking our hand. We've been sticking our hand in the things of the world. You understand what I'm saying? Today, let's take our hands out and not put it back in, no matter how tempting it might be. Because sin is tempting. You understand that? Makes you feel good. But let me tell you something. If we continue on living in sin, the Bible says that God will, because God is a holy God, and he cannot look upon sin. He cannot touch sin. He cannot do nothing with sin. That's why he sent his only begotten Son to pay that sin debt for us. Because we were a dirty world. A dirty world. I want to read a little something to you. It says that, this is what I was reading in one of my devotions, and I think this goes along with that. What does it say? Oh, it said that I made a decision to enter into the ministry. The vice president of the bank where I worked called me into his office. He was a godless man. He could swear as I've never heard anyone swear. He was a cusser. I think it rather moved him when I announced that I was giving up my job to study for the ministry. He called me over to his desk and said, Vernon, I want to tell you a story. This is J. Vernon McGee. Some of y'all know J. Vernon McGee. I love J. Vernon McGee. And it says that he called me over to his desk and said, Vernon, I want to tell you a story. This is what he told me. During World War I, he was working in another bank, and with him worked a man as godless and worldly as could be. However, this man was a soloist in his church. One day, the man who was now the vice president went to the church because the man kept talking about how good he can sing. Please come to the church. So he went to the church. And there he heard his co-worker sing a solo, Jesus Satisfies. He sang this solo. A dear lady said to him afterwards, wasn't that a marvelous solo? It sounded like it came right out of heaven. Since he knew this man at work, he knew that Jesus did not satisfy him. But the woman in the church, she heard the man sing the solo and said, oh, this is straight out of heaven. He's such a godly man. And the other man who knew him and worked with him saying, you ought to see him at work. You ought to hear him. And so anyway, so one day the same woman came into the bank to do some business. And the teller who had been the soloist was attempting to get a balance sheet balance. But it was off. And he began to rip out the pages and just cuss like a sailor. The lady was really shocked at this and asked my friend, who is this man that's working at this bank? He said, this is the soloist that sang that song that you said came right out of heaven, Jesus Satisfied. She turned around, looked at the man, and said, you hypocrite. Here, you made us think that you was a righteous man. You get up in front of the congregation and sing these wonderful songs. And now here you are cussing and carrying on just like anybody else out there in the world. But yet you in the church singing Jesus Satisfies. She says, I will never come to that church ever again. The man who worked with him said, I will never go back to another church ever again. Because they saw the real of who this man really was. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't go out pretending. Don't go out here talking about, oh, I'm this and I'm that. I'm righteous and I'm this, that, and that. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm sanctified and I'm a member of this church and this, that, and other, and then go right out in the world and do just like they do. Don't do that, church. Don't do that. Now, we all have issues. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But don't say one thing and do something and live somewhere else. Now, we all make mistakes. We do. But if we say that we're Christ-like, if we say that we're children of God and that God is our Father, do we act like His children? Or we act like Satan's children? Because if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. And it will come out. It will come out where you are. I don't know where you are this morning, but you do, and God does. I don't know if you've ever made a surrendering of your life, a yielding of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk out of here, last night, night before last, how was your action? How did you live? Was you at the bar? Was you I hear they got one place over here, they got a pole. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, yeah, you must know it. Who said yeah? Somebody said yeah back there real quick. They got a pole. Somebody got established here with a pole. And they talking about it's for exercise. I'm just letting you know what's coming to our city. That's just the beginning of it. They're just testing the waters. I'm just letting you know what's coming to our city. You know, and all this other stuff is coming. But what I'm saying is, how has your life been? And the bottom line and the main thing, how do you want your life to be? Now, I'm not saying that you were at the pole. I'm not saying that you was at the bar. I'm not saying that you was at the crack house. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, have you been living your life according to the Lord Jesus Christ or have not? Simple as that. And I'm going to say this here. We need to be honest. We need to be honest. Not honest to me. Not honest to the person sitting next to you or up there. But you need to be honest to God. Because He knows where you're at. And He's saying He wants you to live a life of righteousness and holiness. He says, I'm looking and seeking for worshipers, true worshipers, to worship me in spirit and in truth. And true worship is, how do you live your life? Are you living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the purest form of true worship, is living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying being perfect, because none of us are perfect. We all have issues. But what I'm saying is being real. Is be real. So if you're here this morning, and I notice is this, you know, it's going to be hard for you to get up. But if you want to be realer, if you want to live your life truly and honestly in a real life for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to get up and come. I'm going to ask you to get up and come. If you want to keep on pretending, you know, and for those of you who can't, if you want to just stand up, just stand up. If you want to really live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're coming down, you might be saying, you know, I'm in that category of not living right. But God knows that you're coming down this morning. Come on down. Come on down. Yes, come on down. Let me ask you something. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? You have? I know you have too. I can't tell you what a blessing that you are to us. Because we love your daughter. We love your daughter, man. And for you 2 weeks coming here with her, You don't know what a blessing that is. And as she sits back, she just grins and she looks over at you and she just grins that her daddy's here with her. This is just the beginning. You know that, right? You know that. And I know that you want to surrender your life to Jesus, don't you? Let's do it right now. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Come on, stand next to your daddy, girl. Matter of fact, come on. Hold his hand. Hold his hand. And let us kneel. No, not you. And if anybody else is here that you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with me today. Pray this prayer with me in sincerity and mean it. I want you to repeat this after me. And all those who are here that if you don't know Jesus, or if you do Jesus, know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father,
I come before you today.
I'm confessing that my life has not been lived
according to your way.
I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This day, I'm surrendering my life
to your Lordship.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the
Son of God,
that he died on the cross,
shed his blood
for my sin.
He rose again
on that third day, and that he's seated in heaven
next to our Heavenly Father.
This day,
I accept this gift
of salvation
by faith
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody help me up here. Thank you. Come here.
Oh, praise.